Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Praise God. As you turn there, I asked y'all a question last week. Okay? A very serious question. And the question was this: what is it that keeps you or prevents you from going out and ministering to people that you don't know, or going out in the workplace, or going out with your friends, or whatever, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, you know, in Walmart, in places? We talked about the Walmart test that I finally passed, and I got a text or an email the next day from Eric of No People, said, "I passed the Walmart test today." Had an opportunity to share with some people and all of that. But the question, in all seriousness, is what is it that keeps you from doing that? Now, some of us say, "Well, nothing's keeping me. I'm doing that." That's great. But I can promise you that not 100% of people are taking what they're hearing here in church and they're allowing God to use them. They would rather God bring somebody, put them right there in front of them, and put them in a situation where they cannot but avoid, but have to talk to God. "Oh, that must be God. I'm supposed to minister to them." When in reality, there's people every day that you're going to be around. You know, Richard shared last week, you know, how God took him right to the right Walmart and Walgreens, and how he was able to bless somebody, you know, as a result, walking in the Spirit. So, very quickly, does anybody have an answer to that question? And I'm not asking you to answer the question, "Well, this is the reason why I think people have this problem." I'm not asking the question about what you think somebody else's problem is. I'm asking what your problem is. Oh, Derek, you know what? Let's take a few answers before we get into the Word, because I believe you're going to be blessed tonight. Amen. Yeah, you're good. Stand up. Stand up so everybody can see you.
One of the things is I'm getting better at it, but it's like, "God, are you going to show up if I, you know, go and do what I think you're telling me to do?" But then it's like, "Well, are you telling me to do this? Am I just wanting to do this? Am I?" And so it's a lot of that question: am I hearing right, or is it just me wanting to do something? So those are a few things.
I like that first part. "God, are you going to show up, or am I out here on my own?"
I just feel like I'm always in a hurry. So I've either got all my kids with me, and there's a lot going on, or I don't.
Sure,
but
blame
I better
it
get
on
back.
The kids.
I got to get back. I got to get back because I'm just busy. I'm always in a hurry.
That's good too. Who?
One of the things I found with me is that, am I going to say the right words? And so, like, this week I was approached, and I thought about you when I was approached, because one of my coworkers, she was like, "Laura, I want you to pray about my mom. She's in the hospital, and she's been there for 12 days. And I was like, "Okay." And this person is a chatty catty. You know, she talks all the time, so she was just talking and talking after she told me that. So I was like, "Okay." When she finally stopped talking, then I had the opportunity to share with her about her mom. And she was like, "Thank you, I needed that." So I did do it. You know, I was like, "Okay."
So you stepped out this week.
I stepped out.
That's awesome. Always concerned about, are you going to say the right things? Anybody else thought about this? Anybody? Oh.
I'll just say lack of experience, or the lie of lack of experience, and the bad habits. When I had my little Walmart experience the other day, you know, the lady asked me if I had a dollar so she could buy some spaghetti sauce. Well, I did not have a dollar, so I said, "I'm sorry, I don't." And took about 5 seconds for the Spirit to hit me over the head. Not really, but. And then I said, "Well, ma'am, if you just hold on just a second, I'd like to buy that for you with my groceries." So it's just getting out of the habit, not limiting God. And so now I've got a little bit more experience. The next time it happens, I'm ready.
That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Okay, so there's four good things. Well, they're not good things, but there's four things that keep you from Yeah. So four things that we're talking about. Lack of experience. Is God going to show up? Am I going to say the right words? I'm too busy. Got too much going on for me to stop, you know, and minister to somebody. God's going to have to choose somebody else. You know, all of those can be legitimate excuses. Okay, now, with that in mind, in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said this, "I am confident, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul and John had a different concept of God's work in a believer than most of the church today. I talk about John in 1 John. When he wrote the letter, and I think it's chapter 2 or so, he said, "Look, you don't have to rely." This is just kind of my paraphrase. You don't have to rely on man's teaching, men teaching you. He said, "You have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all things." And when I read that, I had a problem with that. Because John didn't know what he was talking about, because obviously people need to have a pastor and a teacher and stuff like that. Well, here's the whole point. It's not that John was saying, "Now don't go to church anymore." They had become dependent on man's teaching. And they had come to the place that they did not think that they would, they had come to the place that their growth was dependent on what somebody taught, what somebody shared, and they did not think that they could have understanding, revelation, apart from what was being taught in the pulpit. And what John was trying to say is, look, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have the unction from Him, and He will teach you all things. That's what the Holy Spirit is given you for, given to you for, that He will guide you into all truth, and He will teach you of Jesus Christ. That's what John talked about in chapters 14 through 16. Hallelujah. And so Paul kind of had this same concept. He said, "I am confident, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul didn't take the responsibility of making sure that everybody grew up, that everybody was doing their part. Paul relied on the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. No, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy," you know, sometimes as you read through, you should stop, meditate on some phrases. I mean, just think about this one phrase: "God, who is rich in mercy." When the world thinks of somebody that's rich, they think of somebody that has so much money that you can't really, they have more than they know what to do with. You know, because if they were barely getting by, we don't classify them as rich. They have so much that that's one of the big challenges in our country, if you will. They're pitting the super rich and the rich against the middle class and the poor and saying, look, they got more than enough to go around. That's the whole point. Well, God, who is rich, who is wealthy in mercy, He has so much mercy. He's got enough to go around, praise God. He's rich in mercy. "For His great love wherewith He loved us." See, it's about us. Let's see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to see where the focus here is. A focus is on God. The focus is on what he's done. The focus is on his mercy towards us. The focus is not on what we could do ourselves. And so with his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. By his favor, we've been delivered. Glory to God. He's quickened us together. He raised us up together with Christ. Verse 6, and he has raised us up together. Not after the fact. You think about it. Sometimes we think about the time that we got born again is when we were raised up. No, it has already been predestined for you to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Pastor, are you saying that God chooses some and God doesn't choose others, and so I'm a Christian and I'm seated there because I was predestined to be there? No, it's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Bible says that it is God's will, it is the Father's will that every person be saved. Now, it doesn't mean that every person gets saved, because they have to make a choice. They have to choose to receive the grace of God by faith. But God predestined for every person to be raised up together with Jesus Christ. That is your destiny. Whew. That's my destiny. And so he made it happen when he raised Jesus from the dead. I was raised up together with him, and he made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He that began a good work. He began when you received him as your Lord and Savior. When you became born again, you stepped into the reality of what God had made you, and you became seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He began that in your spirit, man. You were made righteous, glory to God. He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, and the Amplified says, he did this that he might clearly. In other words, for this purpose. He didn't do it so that when we said the salvation prayer, that when we die, we go to heaven. That's not the purpose. He did it so that in the ages to come, he might show the not just riches. Now, he was rich in mercy, but he wanted to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We are on a journey of discovering the riches of the grace of God to us. He began something in you when you became born again. He sat you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are there. He raised you up. He took you out of the kingdom of darkness. And now, because of his love towards you, all that he wants to do is now he wants to perfect that. He wants to perform it until Jesus comes back, until we meet him, until we are there. We are on the increase. We are being changed into that image from glory to glory to glory to glory. And so in the ages to come, in the days to come, in the years to come, all that I have to do is position myself to allow my Father God to show me the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards me. It's his love towards me, not what I can do to get him to do something on my behalf. Faith works by love. And the whole way I used to read that is, to get my faith to work, I need to make sure I'm loving people. I need to make sure I'm not in strife with people. Because if I'm in strife, my faith won't work. And I'm trying to make sure that I got all the I got all the components right for my faith to work. When in reality, I believe that when it says faith works by love, it's faith really works when you understand God's love to you. Because who are you believing? You're believing Him. A child believes, my children believe I'm going to give them a gift for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. They believe that I love them so much that I'm going to do that. And so they rest in that. They believe that. They have faith for that. Well, I know my Father, God, loves me so much that He took my sicknesses. He carried my diseases, Jesus did. He took my poverty. He took my pain. He took my sorrow. He took all of those things. He took the curse. He loved me so much that He did all of that, and then in turn, He gave me gifts. He gave me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Glory. He gave me the Holy Spirit. He gave me His Son, Jesus. He said that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He made me more than a conqueror. And again, it was through Him that loved us. That's what the Word says. See, this focus that all of these things happened out of God's love for us. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now go back, go to chapter 2 of Philippians. Let's go over to Titus first. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Notice again, some of the same language that's been used in these other verses. Notice, I mean, he says, after that, the kindness and the love of God, not the wrath of God, not that He was angry with you, but it's His kindness, it's His love. And the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His what? Mercy. Somebody say mercy. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us what? Abundantly. He's not, a barely get by God. The love of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the gentleness of God, the patience, all of those things has been shed abroad on us abundantly. And I think sometimes we see ourselves as not having these things, you know, Lord, give me more patience. The Lord can't give you any more than He's already given you when you became born again. The question is are you going to allow the things that God has shed forth abundantly upon you to be manifested in the rest of your life? It is your right. It is who you are. It is a gift that has been given. Where sin abound, where's Danica? She put these up here. She asked me before the service. She said, "Are these gonna mess with you? Are these gonna interrupt your flow or anything like that?" And I said, "No, everything's gonna be just fine." Boy, was I wrong. So it wasn't her fault. That was mine. It's a gift that we've already been given. It's allowing those promises to operate in and through our life. This is part of Him that began a good work, now will perfect it, will perform it. It will be manifested in the rest of us. There's so much here. Which He shed on us abundantly. I was about to say where sin abounds, grace, what? Much more abounds. You just always have to renew your mind to the much more abounding of God in your life. I don't care what it is. You had a tough week, had a tough day, had an ugly customer, you know, that was just mean to you, had somebody cuss you out, have family members that don't like you, and you know, you come home and you're like, Jesus, I was that close to just taking them out. Jennifer and I were on the way over here, and Jennifer said, I tell you what, if that person ever talked to me that way, oh, it's on at that point. You know, why not?
Oh, my God, leave me out of
it. Well, because Seth is not here for me to pick on right at this moment. You know, sometimes, you know, it was like this close. But the thing is, we see ourselves as still trying to get to that place of patience. Still trying to get to that place of love, when in reality, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, sometimes we'll take that and we'll say, well, He's not sick, so we don't have to be sick. He's not poor, so we don't have to be poor. And that's right. I agree with that 100%. But how about the way we interact with people? How about the way that that we interact with other cars on the road and drivers on the road? As He is. Oh, that's off limits. There's no. I tell you what, I'm not feeling the love of God from this side. Y'all need to step out into your calling and what God's already given you, and stop being mad with the preacher. Lord. Oh, man. It's like the claws came out. Where was I? No, I'm not over there, I can tell you that. You know, you can operate in the love of God for the idiot on the highway. You can. You can say, bless him, Lord Jesus. Father, Jeff's sitting back there. Jeff said, "You can't. I can, but you know, whether I will or not is a whole nother question." Jeff was riding with me one day, and we were right up here on 459, and somebody just swung and just cut me off. I mean, right in the front. I put on my brake. I said, "Well, bless God, Lord bless him." And Jeff said, I aspire to be like that one day. Jeff, be followers of me as I am followers of God. Listen, he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at verse 7. That being justified by his grace, he justified us. He made us righteous. He put us in a position that once he got us there, once he took care of the sin issue, once he made us righteous, now, the next phrase is that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, this is just the goodness of God. This is what he has done for us. These are the things that we must have our attention on. Because when you accept it, when you receive it, when you dwell on it, when you meditate on it, when you speak it, when you say, this is who I am. This is what God has made me. I'm a child of God. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I've been raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and darkness, which means they don't have any rule over my life. They have no right to come into my life. Glory to God. That is my position in Christ Jesus. I believe it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's not just up here. That's the way you see yourself. You know, every one of us sitting here tonight, you can, as you go through the day, you know how you see yourself on the inside. Not how you want people to see you on the outside. How do you, there are insecure people that look like on the outside they got it all together because they don't want people to know that they're insecure. You need to change your inner image to line up with what God has said about you. Now turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God. Somebody say it is God. Now remember, earlier in this he had said, I am confident that he that began a good work in you will perform it. In other words, Paul wasn't saying you need to perform it to the day of Christ. God's doing something on the inside of you. For it is God which works in you. Did you know that God's working in you? He's working on you too, but he's working in you. God's working in you. And what is he working in me? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now this scripture right here, so many people will, they'll just read over it and because it just won't compute with their natural mind. It's because of our life experience, because of our Christian experience, it doesn't seem possible that this is correct. And so as a result, we just won't deal with it. But this is what it says. I mean, are you going to believe what God says? God is working in you. And this is what he is working in you, both to will. What does that mean? It means that he's working in you to do his will. In other words, this struggle that you've gone through in your life that, you know, I want to just do my own thing, but no, but I know God wants me to do something else. And you go with this struggle and you say, why do I keep doing my own thing? Because you don't believe that God is working in you to do his will. I rest in the fact that I know that to do the will of God is working on the inside of me. That's part of my spiritual DNA. That is who I am. That is my character. It's to do the will of God. I see myself doing the will of God. I see God working on the inside of me, showing me what his will is, working his will in my life. Hallelujah. It's not me struggling against the will of God. It's my nature to do the will of God. Well, pastors, that's not been my experience. Then change your thinking. Change your believing. Believe what the Word of God says. Oh, well, it's not that easy. No, it is. I can tell you it is that easy. We set up in our minds that serving God is difficult. We set up in our minds that we're going to always struggle. We set up in our minds this process we got to go through to finally arrive at the place that we're supposed to, instead of just believing like Paul did, I'm confident of this very thing. I'm confident that he that began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. God's doing something in you. You can't run away from the things of God. He is changing you, and he's working in you both to will, and he's working in you to cause you to do his good pleasure. The Bible says we are his workmanship. Do I say this? Yeah, I guess I will. We are his workmanship, created. Does anybody know how that finishes out? Created to do good works. We are his workmanship. Let me think, see if, does anybody know where that is? It's Ephesians, I believe. Ephesians what? Yeah, Ephesians 2:10. I just want you to see this. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. He's predestined that you should walk in them. God's already set it up. Thelma Stewart, he already set it up for you to be, to just do the good works of Jesus. Every one of us have been ordained, created. Now, it says we are his workmanship. God don't make mistakes. God don't look at Derek and say, man, what's so funny, Jeff? You want me to use you as an example? God doesn't look at Derek and say, you know, I tried my best, Derek. I tried. I did the best job I can. I can't help it that you haven't got your act together yet. He already created you, brother. You are his workmanship. He's already ordained for you to do good works. He is already working in you to have a desire for him, to have a desire to do his will, to have a desire to do the things, to have a desire to go out and heal the sick, to have a desire to go out and preach the gospel, to have a desire to go out and help the needy, to go out and help your family, to go out. He's already created in you the desire to do that. Now he's working in you the will and to do it. I asked you at the beginning, what is it that's keeping you from doing the will of God? You don't believe that he is working on the inside of you, both to will and to do. Because when you get this overwhelming desire to know the love of God for you, experience his love, I'm telling you, with the measure that you measure his love to you, it will be measured through you to the lives of others. Back to Philippians chapter 2. For it is God, verse 13, which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't allow complaining to come in. Don't allow doubt to come in. Don't allow the conflicts to come in. In verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. This is your identity. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's all connected to him working and willing to do on the inside of you. The Bible says in Romans that all of creation is travailing, working together, trembling, waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. The earth is waiting for the sons of God to take their place, to rise up, to leave fear aside. He that is working to will for in you to will and to do is the same person that will give you the right words to say. It's the same person that will cause you to have enough time to take care of your children. It's the same person that will show up because he's right there with you. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He's not going to, you're not going to, you can't minister the gospel to somebody and God's going to leave you hanging. But if you're wavering in the process and you don't believe that he is going to show up and you think it's possible that he might not, you will have that which you believe. You will prevent him from being able to help you. Does that help? That's like right in line with some things we were talking about the other day. See, he'll always be there. Even when you don't feel that unction, so I'm correcting something that I talked to you about on Monday. He'd asked me a question about ministering to people, and he said, sometimes I don't feel God telling me to, so I just step out there and do it, and, you know, and don't necessarily feel that anything happened. And I was just talking to him. I said, well, you know, you have to be led by the Spirit in how to say things to people. But Jesus said, go. Just go. So I'm just kind of correcting that a little bit instead of making you feel better. Just go. And believe. I can make mistakes too. Okay, finally, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's look at verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Now again, the focus here is not telling you that you need to do the will of God. This is what you've got to work out. You've got to do this. His focus is that God is working in you. My goodness. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We don't talk like that today. Preachers don't talk like that today. They don't say, now the God of peace, he's going to make you perfect to do his will in every good work. Is that the way it reads? I probably even said it wrong. He's making you perfect in every good work to do his will. And he's working in you. There it is again. He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And we're like, God, I need to work in me that which is pleasing in your sight. God, how can I do that which is pleasing in your sight? And the whole time, it says here that he is working in me what's well-pleasing in his sight. Oh. There's such rest in that. There's such faith in that. There's such peace in that. To know that my Father God is working in me that which is well-pleasing. In other words, I don't have to go around trying to figure out if God's pleased with me. I don't have to try to figure out how to do those things that are pleasing to him because he's working that out in me. It's my nature to do those things that please him. See, even Jesus, since that was his nature at the age of 12, his parents finally found him after they couldn't find him for 3 days. I mean, how would you like to be Mary and lose the Son of God? But when they finally found him, he said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? See, it was already his pleasure to do the Father's will. It's just who he was. That's who we are. Not who we're going to be. Sit here and hear it like, oh, I'd love to be that one day. That's who you are. He's working that out in you right now. And he's doing it through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So, stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to take a few moments tonight. For some, this is not the way that you normally think. This is not what you normally meditate on. So, we're going to take a few moments while Derek just starts playing. And I want you to just lift your hands towards heaven, close your eyes, get your focus off of everything else that's going on around us. And I would like for you to just seeing your Father God, who is rich in mercy, the exceeding riches of his grace, that when you became born again, that he began to work in you. He began to change your desires. He began to cause his will to operate in your life, and had already ordained for you to do good things for him, already to step into good works, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to receive newness of life, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to stay in that place. See God working in you. Because what we're doing is we're taking realities that are happening in the spirit and we're allowing them to be manifested in our daily lives, manifested through our emotions, manifested through our body, manifested in every part of our being. And the Bible talks about that what we are doing as we walk through this, that we are approving, that we are proving, testing those good works, that we know what is that acceptable and perfect will of God, the good, acceptable, good, perfect will of God. That we're basically experiencing that as we're allowing God to work through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's who we are in Christ. Say this with me. I've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am a recipient of the exceeding riches of his grace. God is working in me to do his will. And he's making me perfect in every good work. That is who I am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now you have to receive that. You have to believe that. The Bible says that we access his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, through faith. It means that there's no other key that will unlock that door. There's no other way. He doesn't just sovereignly place it on you and cause you to do things. No, you the only way that you can access this reservoir of grace is through faith, is by believing Him, is by trusting Him, is by receiving it and then seeing it as done. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, as the Spirit of God just deals with you, the Bible says that we all have a supply of the Spirit. I believe that it's time for us to get back to stepping out and letting God use you to share just an insight, something that God has showed you that'll benefit the rest of the body. We've gotten a little bit complacent over the last few months. So, and sometimes you have to just step out by faith. Allow God to talk to you and to use you. Hallelujah. So who has a thought? Who has something that the Lord has for you to share?
I wanted to say something to Eric. I don't know exactly what you and he, Pastor, were talking about, but I had to come to this in that when I minister the word to a person, whether I see any result right then or not, the word says that his word will not return to him void. It will prosper where unto it is sent. You may plant one waters, but God causes the increase.
Come on.
So give the word, and that's it. Rest in that.
That's good. That's good. Praise God. Yes, ma'am.
I said to my son today, he came to visit me today, and I seen a walking miracle. And I want to tell everybody, don't ever give up on your cheering. Because God will work a miracle.
So what she said is her son came and visited today. He's a walking miracle.
Walking miracle. And I told him this when he was sick, when he was, but he's not no more. I told him, God said, whatever he planted, he would, anything he didn't plant, he'll root it up. And he rooted up everything that was in his body. He's been totally healed of cancer.
Praise God.
Praise the holy name of Jesus. He do not have no congestion hole. Oh, no, no. I told my friend Pat, that's my baby. He don't have no congestion hole. He don't have nothing, no sickness in his body. Because God gave me a promise. And you know this girl, young lady got up here and said, God perfect everything concerning you. I've been using that word for years. Mm. And you know, God will perform a good work in us every day. I do it every morning, 5:30 in each one of us. And we are going always, everything in this church is going to grow. I done already seen the honey. And that back door going to be open. They're going to be coming in from the front, not the back. It's like I see, it's a blessing. It's already a blessing here. I don't go back in that back room to pray for nothing. I go back there to pray for something to happen. You see what I'm saying? I pray with my neighbors. I call them home from the hospital. I had one to die this week. But you know what I said? She had claimed Jesus as Savior. She going to a better place. And I'm rejoicing. I'm going to miss her, but I still going to keep her in my heart. So what we got to do is keep on walking by faith. Be a doer of his word, not just a hearer. Yeah, yeah. And God don't make no difference in peoples. We're all the same. Don't be jealous of nothing somebody else do.
Come on.
Because see, what other people do, God didn't give you that to do. He gave each one of us something to do.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jean Stewart, me and her was talking the other night. This church is built up on faith. It's built up on love. As long as you keep love in the midst of your heart, honey, y'all ain't got nothing to worry about. God has let me see 82 years on this earth, and I'm going to see some more.
Come on.
Because I'm not living up. And I walk around by faith and thank God for tomorrow. I sit on Pastor Frank and his dad and Pat for years, but I'm seeing a miracle. I'm sitting here on his son. And I'm going to keep on sitting here on this song. You understand what I'm saying? And don't give up. When you come in that door right there in the morning, and won't care if it's Wednesday night or Friday night or whatever night, you say, when you come in there, say, honey, say, listen, this place is full.
Yeah.
It's full.
That's a person full of the Word of God right there. Last week, my 93-year-old grandmother called her family in, said, "I'd like for you to lay hands on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost." 93 years, it's never too late. My goodness. Is that awesome? I've never heard anybody at that age get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's like, I've been asking, I'm just ready to receive. Y'all just lay hands on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Does anybody need healing tonight? Anybody? Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your love. Does anybody need healing tonight? Just come on up. That's what we're here for. Glory to God. Amen. Well, it's good. You haven't had many people come up, which means we're walking in the fullness of what God has told us to. So thank God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we receive your love. Father, we receive the riches of your grace. Father, we receive this word that we can be confident that you that's begun this good work in us, that you that's working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure, Father, that you will continue to work in us and you will perfect it to the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Father you are. Your mercy is from generation to generation. As far as the east is from the west, you have removed our sins from us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And because we're in Christ Jesus, we walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. That is who we are. Hallelujah. 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 Just give me another moment. Thank you, Lord. Allow your awareness of God and who He is to expand. Allow Him. Don't keep Him up above in heaven. Don't keep Him somewhere just in your spirit. Allow the awareness of Him and what He is doing in you to expand in your thinking and to expand in your doing and to always be aware of the fact that He is working in you. Don't take this message tonight and just say, "Wow, that was a great message." And then you go back to thinking the way that you normally think. You go back to living the way that you normally live. You go back to saying, "I've got to work this out. I've got to do this." No, allow this revelation to expand in your consciousness. And as you do, and as you receive it and accept it and believe it, then you'll see that you'll begin to automatically start doing the will of God. Things that you have struggled with before will no longer be a struggle because it's not you doing it. It's God working in you and causing you to do. That's the word of God. Amen. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Do y'all receive it? Well, take some time. Hug somebody again. Bless them. Go out rejoicing in Jesus' name. Glory to God.